To be a prevailing church, more than any other time, we need to live by principle and not pressure. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27 says this: "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." This passage, I didn't realize this, I see it now. This passage talks about different storm. It wasn't just one storm. It's talking about different storm. You know? It talks about this powerful storm, rain, this flood, and wind. And it's so powerful. This three storms are so powerful that it can destroy a house. You know, the Bible says, you know, we need to be prepared for not just one storm, but many different storms that's going to come. You know, not just COVID-19, but other storms that will come in the last days. And the Bible does talk about the last days. And the reason the Bible talks about it is not to scare us. Right? Church, say, "I am not scared." Speak that out. "I am not scared. I will not be afraid." The Bible talks about the last days not to scare us, but to prepare us. There's a call to be prepared. And we are facing COVID-19 pandemic storm, but this, I believe this will not be the last one. I do believe there will be more. In a little over a decade, the world was hit with SARS, swine flu, MERS, and different parts of the world have been hit with other viruses like other sickness like avian flu, Ebola, and others. And as a church, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. And so we need to seek God as a church. How can the church prevail in this storm of pandemic, you know, pestilence, the Bible calls it? How can the church be prevail in the midst of this storm? But it's pretty clear, you know, you don't need to be a prophet to see another storm that's coming. There will be a political storm, and it's already happening, political storm. In my lifetime, I've never seen the two parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, so divided. I've never seen it in my lifetime. And so we need the two-party system to be able to work together. I believe it balances each other out so that we don't go to the extreme. But today, it looks like they are out to destroy one another. You know, when the leadership of a country is focused on being elected instead of thinking about what's best for the country, the nation will go through a storm. There will be another storm that we will go through. And there will be division, anger, you know, virtue signaling, intolerance, even violence. And we need to ask as a church, how can the church prevail in this storm? Not just in our nation, but there will be another storm in world affair. How do I know that? Because, again, it's not prophetic words that I receive. Just look at the Bible. Jesus said, nations will rise up against nations. There's Iran, North Korea, China, Russia. There's chaos in Europe. Instead of being overwhelmed as a church, you know, we need to figure out how can the church prevail in the midst of the storm. We also need to be ready as a church for an economic storm, You know, economic recovery, again, you don't need to be a prophet to see this. You know, economic recovery is going to take time. There will be storm, in the stock market. I've been praying for the healthcare workers and also people in finance. I can't imagine the stress that they're going through. There will be jobs that's lost. business that will fail, you know, real estate going up and down, the tech. And we need to ask as a church, how can the church prevail in the midst of this storm? Again, okay, I'm not sharing this so that you will be scared or afraid. And I want to challenge you as your pastor, don't lose heart. Right? Speak that into the people around you. Don't lose heart. Okay? Why? Because the Bible says during different storms, okay, if we live by principle and not by pressure, the house will not fall. Okay? The house will not fall. During different storms, as a Christian, we need to live by point number one, biblical principle. Okay? Biblical principle. And again, not pressure, but biblical principle. You know, right now there's so, I don't read the newspaper anymore. It's just ridiculous. So many conspiracy theory, there's fake news, groundless rumors. More than ever, as a church, we need to live by biblical truth. We need to live by biblical truth. Your feelings will go up and down. Opinions of people will continuously change. There are negative voices all around us. It is difficult to know what is true and what is fake. More than ever, because of this reason, we need to live by biblical truth. To overcome the storm, you have to develop a daily habit of eating the Bible. That's why the Bible illustrates itself as food, you know, water to drink, milk, you know, bread, meat. It needs to be a daily discipline, a daily habit, because we need to every day regularly drink. Babies need to drink milk every few hours, regularly eat bread and meat, you know, food. The Bible also says you have to make your heart into a good soil for the Word of God. Don't let the Word of God, fall on hard ground, shallow soil, or weeds. What is the Bible saying? Don't let stress and anxiety, don't let the devil, don't let distraction of this world steal or choke the Word of God in your life. Be a good soil. Be a good soil. Have a receptive heart, teachable heart, where you will put the Word of God in action. Good soil receives the seed. And when a good soil, when it receives the seed grows. And so for our heart to be a good soil during this storm, we need to, what does farmers do? They need to plow it. They need to fertilize it. They need to protect that seed. They need to continuously take care of that seed. So this is my challenge to Catalyst in the midst of the storm. The Word of God, you need to read it. You need to meditate on it. You need to study it. You need to memorize it. You need to discipline yourself with the Word of God. You need to love the Word of God. You need to hide it in your heart. You need to teach it to other people. You need to speak it. But above all, we as a church need to live it. We need to live it. During this different storm as Christian, we need to live by, I said, principle and not pressure. So biblical principle. Number two, relationship principle. We need to live by relationship principle. John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35 says, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The world sees a church as a place of division. It's about politics. There's a lot of politics in the church. It's an institution that likes to control. It's a self-righteous institution. There's a lot of legalism. There's racism. It's a sexist institution. Yeah. But what the Bible says is this, How do we testify to others outside of the church that we are a disciple of Jesus? Jesus says, by our love. Our relationship with one another, how we treat one another, our deep relationship, how we build each other up, you know, how we, when we do wrong, how we easily forgive each other, how we love one another during this storm, you know, during the storm, we need one another. We can't do it alone. We need each other. In the storm, we, you know, naturally, when we pray for safety, we pray for provision, we pray for protection. But I believe the greatest answer to prayer in the midst of the storm, one of the greatest answer to prayer in the midst of the storm is one another, is this spiritual family, so that we will be there for one another during the storm. So, you know, it's not, so as a church, we need to believe in one another. In the church, honestly, I'm being honest, you know, and I catch myself doing this too. I get mad or upset with people in the church, not because of huge issues, but because of differences that needs to be celebrated, because of different personality differences, you know. You know, do you notice, you know, husband and wives, right? There's conflict in marriage, you know why? Because there is a, it's supposed to be a complementary relationship. You two are different. The husband and wife are different. You see things different way, different perspective, right? And that's not a time, the reason there's conflict. There's conflict, right? But in the Bible, those differences are supposed to be celebrated. The different spiritual gifts are not supposed to cause conflict, but it's supposed to be celebrated. It's supposed to be complementary. You know, and a lot of the conflict, especially okay, in this church, right? In this church, believe this with me. Right? In this church, almost all the conflict that we have with one another is a misunderstanding or a judgment or offense that we choose to carry, or is usually, it could be because of gossip, right? And so how do we love each other practically, right? Let's get rid of any judgment that we have toward one another. Cast off any offense that we have toward one another. Let's easily forgive each other. Let's make this commitment. Choose not to gossip. Okay? Choose not to gossip. And then whatever the devil is trying to do to divide the church will have no power over the church. We are practicing love for one another. We need each other. And the eyes, the Bible says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. A head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26 says this. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When we come together, right, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And everything must be done so that the church may be built up. How is the church built up? When you come together, the Bible doesn't say listen to your senior pastor. You come together to listen to the pastor. No, it doesn't say that. This is a biblical model of a church when we were, even when we worship. This is just a context of worship, right? Not all the other ministry. But even in worship, each of you has a hymn. Somebody has an instruction. Somebody has a revelation. Somebody has a praise, you know, with tongue. Somebody has interpretation or prophetic word. What it's saying is, in other words, the church is you. Everyone is important in the church. Everyone is involved. Everyone contribute. We complement one each other. when we come together, there's a synergy. There's a synergy. There's power of God in us. To have a prevailing church. Church is not a spectator sport, but every believer represents Christ. Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Every believer is an important part of the body of Jesus Christ. Every believer is called, has a destiny and a purpose. And so this is how we're going to love each other during the storm. We're going to believe that in one another. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. Build each other up. You know, be connected and function as a church. Point number three, you know, during different storm as a Christian, we need to live by number three, generosity principle. Okay? Generosity principle. This passage convicted me this week. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a severe famine in the land, a storm, you know. A widow and her son, what did they do when Elijah asked for food? The little food that they had, they gave it to Elijah. And from that time on, the jar of flour, the jug of oil would not go empty, but was supernaturally filled. Was supernaturally filled. Yeah, we show that to people outside, you know, of the church, we show them that we're a disciple of Jesus by our love for one another. But we will win souls for Christ with our generosity. Okay, with our generosity. One of the most, you know, memorable missions trip that I ever went was in Nepal, you know, a while back. And when I was in Nepal, we made this two-week trek in the remote villages in the Himalaya. And more than ever, during missions, what I did was I just decided to be very generous. You know, I shared everything I had. I shared my food, and at that time, my chocolate that was so precious, I shared the chocolate. A few bags of ramen that I had, I shared my ramen that was so precious, you know, up there. My clothes, I just gave away my clothes. My water bottle, you know, the water that I had, money, everything. And then toward the end of that trip, I pretty much gave away everything I had except a pants and a shirt that I had, you know. And during that time, you know, several people came to the Lord. Yeah. People, I encountered supernatural healing for the people that were sick. It was one of the most joyful, happiest, most fulfilling, best time I ever had in missions. A while back, my family went to Iris Ministry, you know, Iris Ministry in Mozambique, Africa. I've been to many different mission agencies and group, but Iris Ministry was one of the most effective ministry I saw at that time. And one thing you notice about Iris Ministry, you know, they had schools and training, classes, Bible study, but one thing that stood out compared to other mission agency that I was exposed to in the past, they were ridiculously generous. They were not just generous, they were ridiculously generous. They feed hundreds and thousands of people, you know, every day. Anybody who's hungry, they would feed. They never turned away a needy person. They provide money, provide clean water, clothes, medicine, help them with jobs. And God used Irish ministry. You know, when we were there, we saw thousands have come to Christ. They planted hundreds of churches. They raised up hundreds of pastors and leaders. Again, in history, it was the Christians who served the sick when the Black Plague hit Europe in 1350. During the storm of life, it is easy to be selfish And if we become selfish as a church in the midst of this storm, as a church, we'll become more fearful. And as a church, we will become more miserable. Catalyst, remember, during this storm, let's remember to be generous. Let's be generous. God will, this is going to happen. God will lead you to people that need your help. There were people, you know, weeks before, but I want you to get that, you know, generous radar, rotating and on, so that you can see. God will lead you to people that need your help. There will be someone in the grocery line, a neighbor, a relative, an elderly, a friend. And I am not asking you to save the world. God will show you some people around you that are in need. Because this is what I was thinking. This week, if each one of you find one person to show generosity, just one, each one of you, to show generosity to one person, I believe we can slowly change this community. We could change this community together. You know, stop for them. Pray for them. Witness to them. Be generous to them. And the church said, amen.